With me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at verse 57 here. 57 to 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor's not in vain in the Lord." Now, I want to just kind of zero in on this for just a minute. Notice that he's the one that's already given us the victories. Anybody see that? Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. He's already given us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's something that we have to understand. If we're going to live the life God wants us to live here on this earth, you're going to have to understand that God has already given you the victory. So you can remain steadfast, unmovable, right? I'm not moving from the Word because I know what the Word says. God's already given me the victory. See, what we when we start understanding that, then we've all got battles. James Lee talked about it. Every one of us deal with things, and we have battles and things that we have to that come against us. But you understand that if you know that God's already given you the victory, what you do then is you fight those battles from a place of victory, not from a place of defeat. You already understand, I've already got the victory, so I don't got to win this battle. I've already won this battle. See, you've got to understand something. You are not the underdog. Come on. You are the reigning champion. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a champion whether you know it or not. See, the Lord Jesus made you that way. He's already given you the victory. Do you see that? So today I want us to start getting that mentality that I'm already victorious, and whatever's come against me, I've already won that battle because I have the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Come on, I know this is different than what a lot of people talk. You know, a lot of preachers and a lot of churches, they're all the time down and out, and it's, you know, they're singing the songs. But God didn't want you to be down and out. He said, I've made you the head, not the tail. I made you above only and not beneath. I made you the lender, not the borrower. You see, that's all places of victory right there that you've got to understand. That's where God placed you when you made Jesus Lord of your life. God placed you in that place of victory. Why? Because Jesus won the victory over the devil. Remember, he put him to an open chain. So do you have the victory because of the blood of Jesus Christ that's been applied to your life. Now, I know that a lot of folks would rather be, you know, have people feel sorry for them and be down and out and all that kind of thing. But listen, folks, why would you want to have that state of mind when you can have the state of mind that I'm a champion? Come on. You know, Muhammad Ali, whatever you think about him, was probably one of the greatest fighters of all time. You know, there were things that he did that I didn't appreciate and didn't like and didn't agree with. But the one thing that he did was every time he got into the ring, he got in there as a champion. He got in there as a winner. Matter of fact, he'd start talking to that other opponent and start telling him how he's going to beat him up. He'd try to get into their head, let them know, you know. And most of the time, he could put his fist where his mouth was at, you know. Well, you can too. Why? Because I've got God backing me. You've got God backing you. Anytime the devil comes around, you've got to understand, you've got the name of Jesus to use against him. That's the biggest uppercut that anybody could ever give anybody. The Lord Jesus is on your side. And if God be for me, what? Who could be against me? You see, so we have to place ourselves in that place. I'm fighting from victory, not fighting from defeat. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. Amen. And that's the attitude God wants you to have. That's where He wants you to come from. Because, see, the enemy wants you to think that you're not enough. Come on, see, he wants to play those mind games with you. He wants to tell you that you're not enough, that you're not worthy. Come on, who am I? Well, I'll tell you who you are. You're a king's child. Matter of fact, not just a king's child, but you're also yourself a king and a priest. Come on now. Your royalty. When you understand that through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation tells us that He's made us kings and priests unto God. We don't get told that. We get told that we're just not worthy and we're just old slugs. And see, that's religion. But it's not what God says. And I'm going to choose to believe what God says. What about you? Amen. We may not have achieved everything that we want to achieve yet, but see, we still keep fighting from that place of victory. It's coming. Right? It's coming. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, but you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you receive the promise. I've done the will of God. I'm doing the will of God. You're doing the will of God. The promise will come. It won't hold back. It will come because God is faithful who promised it. Amen. So let me show you something here in Colossians. Jump over to Colossians chapter 1 here. Because I want to just show you something that the Bible says about you. And it makes me get excited. Look here. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. It says, for this cause, now this is one of Paul's prayers. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Listen, church, what Paul just said is you and I are not nobodies because we've been written into the will. We've been given an inheritance. Understand, when you're given written into that inheritance, ain't nobody can take that away from you. Amen. Come on, the devil may tell you that you're nothing, but God says you're everything. Come on, you've got to get a hold of that. You have an inheritance with the saints. What is that inheritance? Everything God has. The kingdom of God. Notice that. You've been written into the will. Notice also that you've been delivered from the power of darkness. Anybody see that? You've been delivered from the power of darkness. So the power of darkness has no hold on you. And you've been translated over into the kingdom of His Son. No matter what the devil said, well, I'm going to kill you. He can't kill you. Come on now. Quit listening to his lies. I'm going to take you down. He can't take you down. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. But you see, that's what he wants to try to reign over you, try to rule over you, because that's what bullies do. The devil's just a bully. And when you stand up to him, he finds out real quick that all heaven is backing you and he's going back down. But you've got to realize that. You've got to know, listen, I have an inheritance, so everything God has belongs to me. And I've been delivered from your power, Mr. Devil. You don't have any power over me because my power is coming from God and my authority is from God. So your authority does not operate in my life. Come on. This is my wife. And she and I are one together. I like what Brother Darrell was talking about. He's hurt without her, but by my side, I don't know where we'd be. But here's the thing. She's my wife, and I have a right to protect her and help her and do things for her. But I do not have any authority over somebody else's wife. You understand what I just said? Okay, see, the devil tries to come in and act like that he's got authority over your life. But he doesn't have authority over your life because you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and you belong to him. So the devil really has no right to touch you, put his hands on you. Come on. See, folks will say things like, well, you know, the devil just been riding my back all day long or all week long. No, you've got to get him off. He has no right to ride on your back. You need to tell him to get under your feet That's where Jesus placed him whenever you came into the kingdom of God. Because where Jesus is seated, far above principalities and powers, that's where you're seated. Come on. To allow the devil to do what he's doing and manipulate you, what you're doing is you're bringing yourself down to his level. And you're far above, right? So you have to understand that. We haven't been taught this. It's things that people were afraid to say because it just sounded too unreal. But you see, God is a supernatural God. And His promises are supernatural to us. You can't look at it from the natural. You can't do that. It's amazing to me how folks, you know, they freak out about, you know, the devil things and they don't understand the spiritual side of things, the God side of things. Amen. You know, folks, it's freaking out about, you know, the Fallsburg, whatever thing's going on down there, you know, but yet people will still go to it. You know, they believe in the devil more than they believe in God. Well, see, notice that darkness does have power, right? The Bible said that we've been translated from that power. We've been redeemed from that power, you know. So that power no longer has a hold on us. But if the darkness has power, how much more power does God have? You see, if that power that God has, if you're a child of God, is living on the inside of you. The Spirit of God lives in you. Come on, think about that. Acts 1:8 says you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite from. It means you have something explosive on the inside of you. You got no reason to run from the devil, be afraid of the devil. Come on, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. The Bible teaches us that fear has torment. So can I just give you a little hint? Stay away from that junk. Don't open doors and for the devil to come in and then wonder why you're having problems and wonder why sickness and the disease has attacked your body and all that. That's where all that junk comes from. But if you open doors for that and go and let yourself be submitted to that, then guess what? You're giving him place. And the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Y'all have heard me preach on Halloween. I understand everybody does it, but just because everybody does it don't mean it's right. Come on. You see? And so we have to understand that you and I, we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So don't ever let anybody talk down to you. I'm talking about the devil too. Don't let him tell you you're nothing or nobody. Don't let somebody else tell you you're nothing or nobody that you can. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Why? And you're a winner. And you're fighting from that place of being a winner, of being victorious. The devil has no power over you. Listen, folks, there was a time that I was lost, but I've been found. Come on. There was a time that I was weak, but now I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. See, you've got to get a hold of this thing. I was in that kingdom of darkness, but now I'm walking in the light of the Lord. You see, and that's where you have to see yourself. You can't see yourself where you was. You got to see yourself where you are. You say, well, now, Pastor Mike, I'm just not there yet. Well, get there. Come on. Get on over into the light. Get on over into the power of God. Get on over onto the victory side. Come on now. I don't watch car races, but I think, don't they have a place called Victory Lane or something like that? Is that what it's called? You know, for the winter goes down and, you know, that's where you need to be. You know, you need to be there standing on top of your Holy Ghost car and letting the angels of God pour out the anointing of God on top of your head because you just got one, right? Come on now, the angels sitting there shaking up that anointing and spewing it all over you. Come on now. That's the way you need to picture yourself because that's who you are. You're the winner. You're the winner. You've got to get excited about that. You're not defeated. You're not going down. You're not going under. You're not dying. You're living. Come on, just tell your body right now, body, everything that's in me that's not supposed to be there, you've got to go in Jesus' name. Come on, just tell that to your body right. See, some of you folks don't talk to yourself enough. Now, you probably think I talk to myself too much, but... Yeah. I talk to my body. I tell it to line up with the Word of God. I tell my organs to do what the Word of God says. Come on. I thank God that I am healed and my family's healed. And I thank God for His favor and His blessing on a continual basis. I claim what the Word of God says in my life and in my family. And see, that's what you're supposed to be. As a winner, you already have it. You understand that, right? Yeah, but now, Pastor Mike, if you felt like, there are some times that I feel like I can't walk straight. Matter of fact, I don't walk straight sometimes. There have been a few times I've went through the house and the door facing just walks right out in front of me. I have to just kind of take my hand and knock it off. But I don't change my confession. Did you hear what I just said? I still thank God that I'm the healed of God in Jesus' name, and anything abnormal has to go. Come on. See, it don't matter. Well, you're getting older, you know, Pastor. I know, with age I'm getting older, but you know, in the spirit I'm not. Come on. You know, some of us older folk, we can testify in our mind we can still do everything we could when we was 20. Now, we may pull a few muscles and no, but see, that's what I'm trying to say. You have to have that mentality that I am victorious. I am a winner because God made me one. When He redeemed me with the blood of Jesus Christ, He put me in the winner's circle, praise God. That's where we're walking from. That's where we're standing from. That's where we're talking from. We're not talking from a place that hopefully we get the victory. We're talking from a place that we have the victory and we're going to walk in it now. Amen. And that's what God wants us to do. Matter of fact, the Romans 8:37 says, "Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us." You're more than conquerors. Wow. What's more than a conqueror? Well, that's a winner with some sugar on top, praise God. Right? You're more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, but more than one. Well, see, our God's the God of more than enough, so you can expect Him to make you more than a conqueror, right? Psalm 107 says this, and I love this. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Boy, it's just really quiet over there. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." There we go. You see, you got it. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Anybody in here been redeemed from the hand of the enemy? Well, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes. We've been redeemed. Hallelujah. It needs to be coming out of our mouth. We need to be talking it. We need to be speaking it. We need to be testifying of it. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I like to get around in situations where people are talking and saying things, and I get to speak up and say, "Well, I'm a pastor." I like to watch them swivel up. Because, you know, they're that mouth's been, you know, just like that right there, you know, and they've been cursing God and doing all that thing. And they'll ask you something. So I'll say, "Well, I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher." Or, you know, sometimes me and Tim together, we're preachers. They're just like, you know, because they realize they've been running that mouth and they've been doing all that. And all of a sudden now it's, they just kind of curl up and that kind of just quietens down. You know, "I let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Come on, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed to proclaim that we're winners. Come on, some folk act along with their Christianity like they're embarrassed about it. You know, they all the time act so backward and all. No, 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 let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them say so. You are a born-again child of God. Jesus shed His blood for you. He gave His life for you. The least you could do is act like you appreciate it sometimes. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't go around dead-headed acting like you got nothing to be happy about. Nothing, you got no good story to tell. It don't matter how bad your life's going on this earth. You still got a good story to tell. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and you are on your way to heaven, praise God. I don't have to go to hell. Don't matter what's going on in my life, I'm not going to hell. I got that going for me. Come on, somebody. You can find something positive no matter how bad it is here on this earth. But it don't have to stay that way. Because you've got the victory to stand up and begin to decree a thing, declare a thing, begin to speak out over your life and declare the things that God wants to come to pass in your life. Well, what's He want? Well, He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So what's that mean? That means that I can believe God for prosperity and health as long as I'm chasing after Him. My soul's prospering, right? Jesus said the thief, the devil, right? The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Anything steals, kills, and destroys is the devil. That's what Jesus said, right? He said, "But I'm come." I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. How many knows that's in the winner's circle right there? Come on, somebody. Oh, over here is stealing, killing, and destroying. And over here in God's circle is life and life more abundantly. Don't you wish you'd have known this all your life? Don't you wish you'd have known all your life that God wants you right here, not over here? But you see, the world tells us we're supposed to be there. But God says, right here's where I want you. Come on, anybody in here would like their kid over here in this place of killing it? No. No, you want your kid over here in the winner's circle. You want to see them doing good, being blessed, having an abundant life. Come on, somebody. You want them to be prosperous enough to where they can get anything they need plus their givers. See, that's the definition of prosperity. Do you know that? The definition of prosperity is not having $1 million. That may be wealthy, but prosperity is living the good life of God. Being able to afford your food, the things that you need, and what, and some, delight thyself in the Lord, and you can grant the desires of your heart. So you can have some things you just want. But then having the money left over also to give when God says give. And do what He says concerning giving. That's prosperity. Now it's been, I know it's been prostituted out and all that stuff, you know, these ministers with golden commodes and all that kind of junk like that. That's all just materialism and that's not God. But it still doesn't change the prosperity message of God, that God wants you blessed and have an abundant life. Amen. So we got to see ourselves there. And when you see yourself as being victorious, then that's what you'll know. Now, the world wants you to lose hope. The world wants you to think it's over. Right? Yeah, I mean, you get to listening to some things on news and that kind of thing. They want you to think that it's you know, the Bible's a thing of the past, it's over, you know, but they don't know our God. They don't know our God. Let me give you go into another scripture here for you. Over here in 2 Kings chapter 18, I want to read a few scriptures here for you. In chapter 18, the king of Syria wants to come down and take over Jerusalem. He wants he's powerful. He's got a mighty army and he's taken over a lot of nations, taken over the kingdoms and that kind of thing. So he's coming down now and he wants to take over Jerusalem and he sends some guys down there. And one of the guys there, his name is Rabshakeh, and he's one of the princes, one of the warriors there, and he comes down and his job is to try to terrify the children of Israel. So he starts a decree here. Let's look in verse 28. He starts running his mouth again. It says, "Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, The Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, Make an agreement with me by present, and come out to me, and then eat you every man of his own vine, and every one of his own fig tree, and drink you every one of the waters of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and honey, that you may live and not die. and hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his hand? Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his hand out of the land of the king of Syria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharis and Hena and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Who are they among the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Now look, notice what he's doing. He's coming here and he's trying to bring fear into them, and he begins to talk to them, and he's really trying to bring fear because he's talking even in their language. And what he does, if you notice here, what he does when he comes down, he says, you know, he's not who. You think the Lord's going to be able to deliver you? No, he's not. Don't believe Hezekiah when he says the Lord's going to deliver you. Make an agreement with us. Make an agreement with us. And you can eat out of your land. You can drink your land, eat your fig trees and all that stuff. Until we come and get you. And take you into a land. It's a lot like your land. You know, we're going to give it. It's a land that flows with corn. It's a land, but they didn't say they would give it to them. They just said the land was that way. See, it's real quiet right now. Can I tell you something? You've got to understand that this is always the ploy of the enemy. God can't help you, so let us help you. God can't provide your needs, so let us provide your needs. God can't take care of you, so let us take care of you. That sounds like a system that we got going in the United States right now. Come on, see, what I want to tell you is it's not over. That the world thinks it's over. They think that we ought to just surrender. You know, they want us to change our beliefs. Right? Change. You're going to have to change your beliefs. You can't believe like you're believing and live on in the United States now. You got to see things differently. You got to start seeing the things that we see and the way we see them. No, see, here's the thing: we're children of God. We already have the victory. You understand that? God, everything that's going on right now in the world, God's not shaken by, he's not surprised by it, it's not, he's not worried, he's not wringing his hands. Why? Because he's already won. It's already a done deal. It's just the world that don't see it. But you see, they really want you to buy in to what they're saying and doing. That's right. It's real quiet. You cannot surrender and be a victor at the same time. Come on, church. You see, you've got to understand, the world has nothing to offer. The government cannot take care of you. Make an agreement with us. And we'll take care of you. We'll give you a whole $1,500 a month to live on. It just got quiet because it's truth. If you can live on $1,500 a month, you're doing pretty good. You need to show somebody else how to. At the same time, everything keeps going up and up and up and up. We want to take care of you. We'll take you to a place and take care of you. It gets quiet. Now, see, we're not buying into that. We're people of victorious faith. We're people that live with victory, and we're not going to fall because we can see what the enemy's trying to do. And again, if God's for us, who can be against us? So the enemy has no power over us. So you don't worry about those things. You don't get caught up in those things. You keep living in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and keep living believing the Word. Amen. The world and the government cannot take care of us, but God will. God will deliver us. Understand that. Let me show you something right here in 1 John chapter 2. Just so that it'll help you maybe. I'm sure you already know it, but let me just show it to you once again. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Look what John writes. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's a tough scripture. Love not the world. Folks are so materialized now that they love the things of the world. Now, don't get me wrong. He didn't say you couldn't have those things and use those things, but you can't be in love with them. Amen. It can't be your God. You got to let God be your God. Material things don't mean a thing. You know what? You can spend all your life gathering things up, and when you die, what good did it do you? Come on. You know, shame, and a lot of folks do that. They work hard all their lives. They save up money. They buy land. They got all these possessions. And when it comes time for them to die, their kids fight over them and separates the family. Because it's material things. It's not the greatest thing we could ever do as a parent is to raise up our kids to know God. And know that they're in a place of victory and that things of the world don't mean anything because it's just temporary. Because our time here on this earth is temporary. The main thing that we can do in this earth is make sure that we know the Lord. Make sure that we're born again. Make sure that we're ready for heaven. See, that's what gives us the victory. I know that if I die now, I'm going to heaven. That's victory. I'm not losing if I die now. People would look at me and say, "Well, boy, No, I'm in heaven. I've gained what I'm waiting on. Come on, church. See, that's something to get excited about. That's a place of victory right there. Come on. You can live your life free of worrying about dying. Come on, you talk about getting you over in victory. Knowing that when I leave this earth, I'm going to be with Jesus. Come on. There won't be no sickness, no disease. There won't be no tears. There won't be no sadness. Come on, think about that for a minute. Is that not victory? Glory. I'm talking. Praise God. See, that's the kind of place that God wants us to get into. But He says that things that are in the world, they're not of God. Verse 16, "For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Hallelujah. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There is a great battle again, and I'll just say it that way, between good and evil that's going on in church. And you need to be spiritually aware. Again, the world wants us to surrender what we believe, surrender our self to the place that we call good evil and evil good. You know, with all the sexual things that are going on out there, they want us to call that good. And there ain't nothing good about it. According to God, it's wrong. And if God says it wrong, it's wrong. Amen. I shouldn't have to look at somebody and try to wonder whether they're a male or female or what they are. And I shouldn't have to worry about offending them if I call them by the wrong pronoun. Come on. But that's what the world wants us to do, and we're the ones that's wrong if we don't. Amen. You see, but you see, that again is the world trying to bring us down, and we got to stay above. We got to stand our ground no matter what. Now, I'll be polite. I'll be nice. I'm not going to be rude or anything like that. But if I get asked the question, I'm going to shoot the answer. Plain as I can shoot it, straight from the Word of God. Right? Come on. When it comes to homosexuality, man shall not lie with man as he lies with a woman. You can't get any plainer than that. That's from God's Word. Yeah, I don't mean I can't be friends with them. You know, some great people. But it's the act that's the problem that goes against God. Right? Come on, see, you have to see that, you know. The world wants you and I to surrender the Word of God because they say it's obsolete and this book no longer relevant for their word and what they think. And man left to himself will destroy himself. Because that, not because we're inherently evil, it's just because we have evil tendencies. Right? How many ever heard the story of the frog and the scorpion? Not a lot of you. Nobody. As the story goes, this is another Aesop's fable, and it kind of goes back. But there's a story that there's a scorpion that's living here in a place, and he's got his little hole that he lives in, but it's hot and it's dark, and he's kind of long. And he just finally gets to the place where, I don't want to live here anymore, and I got to get somewhere else. And there's a river in front of him. And so he goes down, and the one thing he fears is that river, because scorpions can't swim. But as he was down there looking around, all of a sudden here comes a frog swimming by. And he asked the frog, he says, hey, how about you give me a lift across the river? And the frog looks at him and says, why should I do that? He says, well, I want to get to the other side. I want to live in a different place. And if you would let me, I'll ride over on your back. You can swim me across because I can't swim. And the frog says, nah, you're a scorpion. If I let you ride on my back, you'll sting me. And the scorpion says, no, I'm not stupid now. I realize that if I sting you, then we'll both drown. I'm not going to do that. I promise you I'm not going to sting you. So the frog thinks about it, and he thinks, all right, I'll take you to the other side. And so the frog's swimming across the other side with him, and the scorpion's holding on. He was afraid he'd fall off, and so that slick frog, but he's doing all right, and they're swimming, they're making it across. And they get about to the middle of the river, and all of a sudden the frog feels a very sharp pain in his back of his neck. And the frog says, you just stung me, you idiot. Don't you know now that we're both going to die? And the scorpion says, I didn't do it on purpose. I did it because that's just what I do. And they both drowned. What I'm trying to tell you is this. The world will tell you that they'll take care of you. The world will tell you that that you're safe with them. But scorpions do what scorpions do. And the world does what the world does. And they're willing to die themselves if they can take you down. There are folks in this world right now that don't care if the United States goes down. They don't care if they go down with it. That's just their tendency, is to be able to try to take it down. What I want you to understand is that's not where we're operating at. We're operating from a place of victory. We're not going to allow ourselves to be taken down. We're smarter than to give the scorpion a ride. Come on, we're not going to give the devil a ride, praise God. We're going to tell him where to get off and where to stay off, because we have the Word of God in our mouth and we have already won the victory. Amen. Church, we're going to have to understand we're fighting from a place of victory, not defeat. You are already a winner. Look at your neighbor and say, you're already a winner. And come on, stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah.